Well, good morning, Texas, and actually anybody else who's listening through the website, www.scatteredchristians.org. This is Mike Paulson in North Dakota with A Cup of Goodness, where we talk about the goodness of God, not the severity of God as taught to the Jews, but as the goodness of God as taught to the Gentiles through Paul, by the risen Savior, of course. We have spent the last couple of programs looking at, go ahead, read the Gospels. Just don't reject them like the hypers do. Don't change them like the Bible correctors do. Don't teach them with signs for gain. Don't teach them as law to be applied today. And don't use them as your personal testimony, as you probably have chosen to follow either Jesus through the teachings to the Jews, or Peter, who was the apostle to the circumcision, or John, James, we've got Jude. Take your pick. Unfortunately, most people pick everybody except the one they're supposed to pick, and that's through Paul. So as we kind of end up this series in this program here, we're going to stray off just a little bit, and we're going to talk this morning about Paul. I mean, yesterday we went through Jesus, we went through what Peter has to say, we went through John and 1 John. So I can't talk about the people that you would follow if you follow the Gospels without talking about Paul. That's the one we're supposed to follow since Jesus arose. So let's just get right into this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And, you know, please open up your Bibles. I don't care which Bible you have this morning. Just open up your Bible, and you'll see some of the changes here that really are pretty important. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, like I said, King James Bible, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now, that's Paul talking. Now, see, your modern Bibles, they say to imitate. Be ye imitators of me. I don't want to imitate Paul. I don't want to imitate Jesus. I don't want to imitate God. That's the devil in Ezekiel and Isaiah. He wants to imitate God. He wants to be like the Most High. And that's exactly what he tries to do when he comes back as the Antichrist. He's an imitator. I don't understand why you folks, anybody went out there, still keep their modern Bible. Any of your Bibles you've got out there, that when you find out that your Bible tells you to imitate God, imitate Christ, that's the moment you toss that thing away. In fact, many years ago, before I realized the King James thing, before I realized Paul and the risen Savior's Gospels, all these things, somebody sent me a book one day from, I can't remember the guy, Chuck Swindoll. And it was something about throwing another brick or turn the other brick or something like that. And I was reading through that devotional stuff, and I came to the place where he said to be imitators. And he had this whole devotional page about how to imitate Christ. That was when something just clicked in me, like, wait a minute. We can't do that. What is this? And that started me. That was the first seed that got me looking at King James Bible only. My life has been changed and different ever since. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 tells me to follow Paul. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. If we go to chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, we see again where it says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." That's Paul talking there. Then we're going to zip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, and just look at a few verses this morning as far as following Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Now what we're seeing here, we're seeing Paul's response where he says in the first verses of that same chapter, describes the modern Christian today. Really does. And how do I know that it's talking about a Christian? Because in verse 5, it talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Then he goes on and warns, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And then Paul says, but thou, meaning you, meaning me, if you're listening to Paul, following Paul, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. See, we can say we have fully known his doctrine if you're studying and learning your King James Bible, rightly dividing, by following Paul. It's that simple. That's the story. If you want to follow these people that are of corrupt minds, they resist the truth, they're reprobate concerning the faith, not a faith or their faith, but concerning the faith, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Is it the power to have victory over the devil? No, it's the power of what Christ does to somebody who puts their faith in him. He fulfilled the law to impute his righteousness to that person, to spiritually circumcise us, all these things. That's the power he's talking about here. This modern religion today, it's a form of godliness. It looks good, sounds good, people like it, feels good, but it denies the power thereof, and we're supposed to from such. Turn away. Not hang around and hope we can help people with it, but turn away. So let's just keep going. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, where he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, that's Paul, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It doesn't say the peace of God. It says the God of peace shall be with you. You want to have the God of peace in your life? You need to turn to the risen Savior through Paul. It's that simple. If you don't do it through Paul, if you don't understand what's being taught through Paul, if you don't let him be the one that sets the foundation for you, which is Christ is the foundation, then you don't have the God of peace. And that has a lot of potential thoughts there, if you think about it. So then if I go to Jesus through John and the apostles, then are you saying I don't have the God of peace with me? That would be a question I would ask if somebody told me that. Well, every scripture is right, every word, every punctuation. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Okay, that's Paul. I've learned from Paul. I've received things from Paul. I've heard from Paul. I've heard about Paul. I've seen in Paul's life, not to imitate, but learn from those things. If I do those things, well, I'll be trusted in the risen Savior. I'll be following the risen Savior. So, yes, I'll have the God of peace. That's what it looks like to me. Those scriptures are exact the words we want. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We see in verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So he's talking about the life of Jesus. Now, are we trying to live the life of the earthly Jesus to the Jews? Well, he was fulfilling the law. So then I guess you must follow the law. But if we're looking at the risen life that's to be manifest in our mortal flesh, that would be turning to Paul. You can turn to the apostles if you like. I'm turning to Paul because he represents and he teaches. He's my apostle to the risen Savior. The risen Savior, the one that teaches about the goodness of God, not the severity of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I look to Paul as just another man, just like us. He hated the Christians more than anybody else, and yet Christ chose to use him. And we can learn from Paul in his day-to-day life that in those verses before verse 24, which we have 15 through 24 there, we see the battle that Paul has. So we understand the battle that we have by understanding the battle that Paul has. What is that battle? I'll read it to you. We have time this morning. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. See, the sin is still in us. We're just cut away. Spiritual circumcision, Colossians chapter 2. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, see the difference there, dwelleth no good thing. for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, what I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Paul understands the battle. He understands spiritual circumcision. He understands the sin that's still dwelling in him. He understands the judgment seat of Christ. He understands the war that he has every day with his mind and with the flesh. And Paul is one that would teach me how he deals with that. Paul's the one that will explain that to me. Paul is the one that will give me the understanding. I choose to follow Paul. Following Paul, I understand myself as another person, just like Paul was. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Right after where it says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Then he says in verse 17, for this cause, what cause is that? To be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So we see there that every church, everywhere, is supposed to be teaching Paul's ways. In Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, are two of the books that teach us Paul's ways. Paul's ways, the manner of life. We should learn from Paul. Do we want to follow Peter's manner of life? Do we want to follow John's manner of life? Who teaches a daily manner of life? Nobody but Paul. Do you want to follow in Jesus' footsteps? He was fulfilling the law. Then you must also walk the law. Paul teaches me how Christ walked the law, fulfilled the law, and then imputes his righteousness, which is 100% clean, to my record. Paul's the one that teaches me these things. If you're not learning these things, it isn't because Paul isn't there to teach you, because your pastor's not teaching you Paul's ways. It's that simple. From such, turn away. Have no company with. Avoid. Vamoose. Scram. Get out of there. Get the road. Get away. Turn to the risen Savior. In the King James Bible, rightly divided. Look to Paul as your apostle. He'll teach you everything you need to know, which is the goodness of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Okay, Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Fantastic verse. By the way, if you've been listening to my program at all, you've heard these verses, haven't you? Yes, it's the same verses. And this also is a fantastic verse. It's always been a fantastic verse. I introduce it as a fantastic verse. I teach it later as a fantastic verse. Let me read it to you. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, by the way, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 24. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, we should be established according to Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we look at that. And we see we are to be established according to Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Is that Jesus Christ in the gospels? No. Keep reading. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Steve, do you see this there? I know Steve is listening in, fresh from Utah, fresh out of the Mormon church. Do you see this? This is one fantastic verse, Stephen. We are to be established. We are to be established according to Paul's gospel. And Paul's gospel is not just 1 Corinthians 15, that he was buried and that he rose again. They always say, well, see, that's Paul's gospel. No, Paul's books, Paul's teachings, that's Paul's gospel. So we are to be established according to Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's Ephesians chapter 3. Let me put this in a little bit different words. I'm not correcting it. I'm not making it. I just want to say it this way. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to my teachings, because that's Paul, according to the revelation of the mystery. Paul, Christ revealed that to Paul, Ephesians chapter 3, revelation of the mystery. We need to learn how to be established by Jesus Christ according to Paul. It's that simple. It is that simple. Read that verse again. I think I will. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. That is so Ephesians chapter 3 right there. Fantastic verse. Let's go to another one. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy, Timotheus, right? These are Paul's ways. These are supposed to be taught in every church. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. This is another great verse. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Well, pastors will preach about not be ashamed of Jesus Christ, not be ashamed of the gospel. They'll talk about that all the time. But look at the rest of this verse. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Ask somebody, you ashamed of Jesus Christ? No, not at all. Are you ashamed of Paul? Who? Paul. Well, your pastor must be ashamed of Paul, because they don't teach Paul. They don't teach the goodness of God. They don't teach Paul's teachings. They're ashamed of Paul. And they brag the fact that they're not ashamed of Jesus, but they're talking about Jesus to the Jews. Apparently, they must be ashamed of the risen Jesus. They must be ashamed of the risen Savior, because the risen Savior goes to Paul, whom they must be ashamed of. Well, look at the second half of the verse. Here's why I think they're ashamed. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. See, you follow the risen Savior. You follow Paul. You're going to have some afflictions. If you get out of a church, if you get out of a denomination, if you get out of a cult based on the risen Savior looking to Paul, you can bet there's some afflictions coming. Okay, let's keep going. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, just a few little flippy pages over to the left. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14. And if any man obeyed not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Okay, so do we look at that everybody's out there that's not following Paul? Well, let's go up here to verse 6. Let me show you something very interesting here. Because, see, if people don't follow Paul, and we want to have no company with them, we're not going to have company with anybody. But there's a string to this thing here. Verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye received of us. So, are people walking disorderly, or are they just walking differently? See, the brother that causes the grief over this Paul stuff, the pastors that don't teach the Paul stuff, etc., etc. Just keep reading, I'll show you what I mean here. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. See, now the people that hate the Paul teaching, the pastors that teach against the Paul stuff, against the King James only, or against rightly dividing, or whatever, they look to us like an enemy. Right? I mean, they treat us like we're enemy. Yes, you're welcome to my church. You can bring any Bible you want to my church. Oh, but not a King James Bible. I've heard that so many times. They treat us like we are the enemy. The goodness of God is the enemy. The risen Savior, his teachings, is the enemy. Seriously? Yet he tells us, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, that's Paul's stuff right there, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Then a little bunny trail in this thing, it's amazing to me that when we finally decide to withdraw from somebody because they're just not into the Paul stuff, and they're walking disorderly, and they're causing grief and troubles, etc., 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 yet we are the ones that have a hard time withdrawing. And when we finally do, we are the ones that feel bad. We are the ones that are ashamed. And I'm sorry, but they're supposed to be the ones that are ashamed, because you have the risen Savior. You have a liberty. You have a joy. But you've also got his teaching and his command that we should withdraw from them that are not obeying his word by Paul's teaching, by this epistle. They're supposed to be the ones ashamed, not us. If we have that joy, but when you pull away from them, they should realize, boy, that's something's wrong here. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. That's what it should be. But for some strange reason, it's that King James Bible believing Christian that's afraid to withdraw, afraid to pull away. They're the ones ashamed. And you don't understand what I'm talking about if you're not a King James guy that understands Paul and understands rightly dividing, knowing the challenge you have to pull away from somebody who's your friend, but they're walking disorderly based on Paul's teachings. See? They're not an enemy. Admonish him as a brother. But they treat us like an enemy. They don't admonish us. They reject us. They shove us aside. So you folks out there that don't understand the Paul thing, you think that's right? You think that's the fair thing to do? They're ashamed of Paul. They want nothing to do with the afflictions of the gospel. They want nothing to do with Paul. They want nothing to do with people who follow Paul, following the risen Savior. They want nothing to do with people who are King James only. They want you gone. They want you out of town. Does that sound fair? Yet Paul comes along with the goodness of God. And he says, listen, you know, after a while, these disorderly, busybody people, you need to withdraw from that person. But they're not your enemy. Just admonish him as a brother. See how that works? So, what do we got here? Do we see the difference yet, folks? Do we see the difference between following Jesus in the Gospels? Do you see the difference following Peter in Galatians when he's apostle to the circumcision? Do you see the difference of following John, either in the book of John where he teaches that they need to believe that he is the Messiah, or 1 John where it talks about the walk, and if you sin at all, you're not of God? And yet Paul comes along and tells us to follow him, shows us all these things, the marvelous goodness of God. Do you see the difference between the severity of God and the goodness of God? The severity of God in the Gospels and the goodness of God in Paul, and the severity of God in the tribulation books, James, John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, Jude. Do you see that there? Look at Galatians 1:16. Here's another reason to follow Paul. Galatians 1:16. Well, we probably better go back to verse 15. For when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, that's the Gentiles. Paul's purpose from God is to reveal Jesus Christ to us Gentiles. That's what it says. To reveal his son in me, that's in Paul, that I might preach him, who's that, his son, among the heathen. That's his purpose. That's what he's to do. So why don't you look to Paul? Your Bible doesn't talk about Paul. I know that. You have to get a King James Bible. Your modern Bible doesn't tell people about the preservation of his words. Your modern Bible doesn't tell you to rightly divide the word of truth. You've been had, folks. You've been deceived. You've been taken to the cleaners, as they say, but they've made you dirty instead of clean. Let's finish this up with 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Because, see, if you're not going with the risen Savior through Paul, well, you're fulfilling Paul's biggest worry in his ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. He's being kind of sarcastic. You guys think I'm silly? You think I'm nuts? You think I'm mad? Come on, bear with me a little in my folly. Bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, here's his fear now, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And how does he corrupt minds? Changing words of a Bible, getting rid of the word of God, not rightly dividing the word of truth. He can corrupt people's minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, not another Savior, not another God, not another religion, but another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, because you don't receive another spirit, you know, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul was afraid you would get caught up following the Jewish teachings of Jesus. He was afraid you would get caught up with the tribulational teachings of Jesus, the everlasting gospel. And if you go through all the different cults, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons, go down the list, you would find that they all were started by an angel from heaven. That was the claim. What's that got to do with anything? Well, because in Galatians chapter 1, he says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Then he says it again. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. Any other gospel from what Paul preaches a gospel of the risen Savior. Your pastors, your churches today are teaching the gospel of the earthly Jesus to the Jews. How can you say that? I can say that very easily. Let's go to verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll finish up with that. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. See, they're teaching man's righteousness, not the righteousness of Christ, whose end shall be according to their works. Follow Paul. Follow the risen Savior. Don't follow another Jesus. Don't follow what your pastor's been teaching you in these last 100 years in your churches. Time is up. Got to run. We'll talk to you tomorrow.